So very good to see each of you here today and the number of visitors that are with us. We are very happy to see you and to have you with us today. As Les said, that song we just sang has something to do with our lesson today, Room in God's Kingdom. And in fact, the song states that in the kingdom of God, there are duties for all of us. There is a place, there's responsibility that all of us have. And whatever abilities we have, we must use them in order to strengthen the church of God. There is room, and every work is important. In the first verse of the song, there is room in the kingdom of God for the small things that you can do. And we find here a combination of small things put together as that which affects the whole. Often work in the church is not just big things that take place. It's a lot of little things that many are doing that helps to move the church where things need to go and gets the things done that must be done. And within the kingdom of God, there are various works that need to be done. We can look among us and we can see the need of works of teaching and edifying and caring for the needs of others. And there are various roles that Christ has given the church to fulfill and to meet many of these works. Churches are to have elders and deacons and evangelists and teachers, roles designed by the Lord to perform many of these duties. But then even that leads some to feel that if they do not serve in one of those ways, that they cannot serve at all. Some would say, well, if I'm not an elder, then I won't have any influence in the church. Or someone else says, well, I cannot teach or preach, and so I have no function to serve. And maybe even for women, they may feel that since they do not lead in a public way, that they cannot serve. But the needs of the church and the work that is needed goes far beyond those roles. Sometimes it's some of the roles that are more visible to us that we think are more important. But I don't think it's that way at all. Any act of service that we can perform is important and it's necessary in the kingdom. Why don't you take your Bibles? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now you might recall in chapter 12, 13, and 14, the Apostle Paul is dealing with some specific problems among the church in Corinth. And we find here in this text that there were some who were just acting in ways that they should not. In fact, in that day of spiritual gifts, there were some who had gifts that, as we would say, were just trying to show out, is what it seems. They were trying to be above others. They wanted to be seen for whatever work they thought that they were doing or needed to be done. But the apostle has some things to say to them about the way they were acting and about the needs of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, at verse 12, "For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greek, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." It's said in a very simple way, isn't it? And helps to put in perspective, you know, the needs of the church and the responsibilities or the work that is to be done. Our physical bodies have many members. We understand that analogy, and yet it is one body. Our bodies have hands and feet and eyes and ears, and all put together make a body. And each has a different function, but they all contribute to the body. Each member must recognize its importance. We continue reading verse 15. "If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now they are many members, yet one body. It's a reminder that each member must recognize its individual importance. The foot may not recognize his importance because he's not a hand. He thinks, well, the hand is more important than me. Or it could be the hand that thinks the foot is more important than him. And the apostle is trying to say, no, understand the value and the importance of each one. And the ear may not recognize its importance, thinking that the ear is more important, and it goes the other way too. But if all the members had the same purpose, then the body could not function. If the whole church consisted of tongue speakers, what benefit would that be without interpreters? That's where Paul's going with this. And if the whole church consisted of healers, who would do the teaching? And if the whole church consisted of song leaders, who would preach? Now we're seeing the application. Now we're understanding what Paul was trying to say in the analogy. These were the issues that were being addressed in the larger part of the context of the passage, that every person contributes to the overall functioning of the body. And as the song said that we just sang, number first, it said that there is room in the kingdom of God for all the small things that you can do. The small things that you can do becomes the point of emphasis, that we ought not to think that if our function in the church is not a public one, that we are somehow not important. We view sometimes the leaders of the church as giants and think of ourselves as little people. But I'm not seeing giants and little people in the church. I'm not seeing that at all. That was part of the problem in Corinth. Some were trying to be somebody. And the apostle had to set them straight on that. You know, in the second verse, it says, just a cup of cold water in his name given. There's something Jesus has to say about that in Mark chapter 9. Would you look with me? Mark chapter 9, a simple verse that Jesus says here. He's the speaker. Mark chapter 9, verse 41. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. A cup of cold water being given to one in need might seem like a small thing to us, but it's something that the Lord would notice. It's something that he would see as being of value. Offering a cup of water to a disciple might seem like a small service to us. But is there ever an act of service that becomes too small? Every act of service has a purpose, and Jesus takes notice of even those small acts of service. Sometimes it's a hug to someone who's needing some encouragement, or a phone call, or a card, or an email, a special prayer on behalf of someone. Is that too small? Really, is that too small for us to think of its value? The Lord understands the value of small acts of service and knows those things and sees those things. Every work is important to the functioning of this church. And while some things might go unnoticed by human eyes, not unnoticed by the eyes of the Lord, there is room. Every work is important. And there is also responsibility. There is responsibility in that we must use whatever talents or abilities we have. We all have some ability, and we must see the responsibility that comes with that. It does you no good to have talents and neglect to use them. It does this church no good for you to have talents and to neglect to do them, use them. It does the entire kingdom of God no good for you to have talents and neglect to use them. We're familiar with the parable of the talents, Matthew chapter 25. And we remember the story where the owner distributes his goods to his servants. A talent, if you place a monetary value on that, would be about 6,000 denarii. It's worth a lot of money. Those talents were given to each one according to his ability, is what the text says in Matthew chapter 25. And the owner knew how many talents he could entrust to each one. And so he gave to one 5, and to one 2, and to another he gave 1. And we think about the work that was done with these talents and with each servant. 2 of them doubled the amount while the master was gone. The third one hid his in the ground. He didn't use his talent. And when the master returned to settle the accounts there with his servants, 2 of the servants who had worked hard and used those talents, he praised and he rewarded them for their service. The third servant who hid his in the ground was scolded for his neglect. He had done no work for the master. Well, it could be that his talents, his abilities were less than the others. That's why the master gave him less to do. But it was just as important. It was just as important for his work of service. He had responsibility to respond and to act as his master had given him talents. In that second verse of the song, "Do not wait to be told, nor by sorrow driven to the work God has given to you." Do not wait to be told. Sometimes we realize that we have some talent or ability, but we don't do anything with them. Well, it might be that some just sit idle, doing nothing. It's only when someone comes and asks that we respond and we do the job that has been given to us to do. The other part of that verse is, nor by sorrow driven. The idea that some will only work when they're made to feel guilty about it. You know, we shouldn't have to be made to feel guilty to respond and to do the work that we have to do. Because most of us understand and know that as disciples of Christ, we have a place in the kingdom. We have work that needs to be done. We have abilities, we have talents. And sometimes it's only when someone comes and asks us that by sorrow we are driven to respond and to work. We're failing to see the responsibility that comes with whatever abilities that we have. Workers who are loyal to him and true, I will leave the shirkers. That's what we just sang. We just sang, and we sang it in the affirmative as those who are workers loyal to him and true, as though that's who we are. I hope that's true. And we also just sang that we are going to leave the shirkers. We're going to leave those behind who are not doing the work they should do, but we are going to do the work that we ought to be doing. That's what we just said. And that God wants us to recognize our responsibility and to do something with it. Even if we are just the one talent man who's been entrusted with a small amount, whatever abilities we have, that we are going to use them. God distributes to us abilities that he expects us to utilize. Some people are blessed like the 5-talent man or the 2-talent man. Others the 1-talent man. Whatever abilities we have, God expects us to use every ability in his service. It reminds us of the bigger picture here, that we are in the service of the kingdom, that we are in the service of the Lord. And sometimes we have to look at our gift and reevaluate what can we do. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 6, it would seem that this is the point that the apostle was trying to make to Christians long ago. Romans chapter 12 at verse 6. "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. or ministry, let us use it in our ministering, or he who teaches in teaching, or he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And so we have to stop and think, can you teach? Can you exhort? Can you encourage? Can you give liberally? Can you do any of these things in order to help meet the needs of others? Can you show mercy? Whatever our talents, whatever our abilities are, we have responsibility to use them. All of these are given to us by God's grace, and he expects us to be responsible with them. There is responsibility, and we must use our abilities. There is a reward. There is a reward. We are working toward eternity. There may be, I suppose, three ways in which we receive reward from our service to God. We are rewarded ourselves by using and developing our talents. We receive a blessing ourselves when we are busy about the work that we should do. The more we use them, the better we become at whatever act of service we can do. We are rewarded by knowing we helped someone when they needed it. There's a reward in it. There's a good feeling that comes in that, whether that is helping someone spiritually or other physical means or ways that we might be able to help, whether we have lifted someone's faith by exhorting or teaching, or if we have offered a cup of cold water to those who are in need. We benefit from that. It strengthens us. It strengthens the body of Christ. The kingdom of God grows because of it. We are rewarded eternally when the Master comes. The eternal reward that awaits those who labor in his service is something that should not be missed in Scripture. Galatians chapter 6, beginning at verse 9. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. Let us not grow weary becomes a point of emphasis. It's easy to grow weary sometimes. Sometimes maybe we've done something for a long time and it seems that it's unappreciated. You know, maybe we've grown weary from teaching Bible classes for so many years and there's not been much recognition in that. And we become discouraged. Let us not grow weary in what we are able to do and how we're able to function in such a way to help and encourage the church. Or we can grow weary from trying to help individuals who sometimes seem like they don't want to help themselves. And yet we still may be able to offer a cup of cold water. Or we've grown weary from trying to motivate others who, it seems, have already grown weary. But let us say, let's not lose heart. Do not lose heart is what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Paul says to those Christians long ago, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, inasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The work that is done in the Lord's kingdom is not in vain, because the Lord did not die in vain. He rose again. And so any work that we do, that he wants us to be doing, is not in vain. Whether anyone sees or recognizes our work, whether it's appreciated or not, the Lord knows and understands our efforts. He knows our work. And that becomes an emphasis for us. And one day we will receive the reward for the work we have done. There is room in the kingdom for the work you can do. there is responsibility in recognizing our talents and going out and using them. There is a reward for using our God-given talents and not losing heart, not giving up. And it's my hope, and it is my prayer, that we will all look for opportunities to be busy working in the kingdom of God. The song that we are singing here in just a moment is not a song that we would necessarily look at as an invitation song. And yet I think it's quite appropriate. It's a song that is bringing us to mind and reminding us of a soul that longs for the Lord. That's what we are saying. When we sing this song in this first person, we are saying, I long for you. And that as we are looking at God, we are saying to him, you alone are my heart's desire. That's pretty focused, isn't it? And you think about singing those words, well, if he is not our heart's desire, maybe we shouldn't sing those words. We become self-condemning in doing so. But I am hoping that as we sing this song, that these words ring true to us. That he is our heart's desire. That we truly do want to serve him. And in view of it being an invitation, if we can use it this way, an invitation to any today who need to respond, whose heart is so moved that they want to become a disciple of Christ, that you understand what it is to become a Christian, a baptized believer, sins washed away by the power of the blood of Jesus, or a Christian who has struggled in faith. Can we help encourage you? Or have sinned and have repented of sin, you're ready to confess your sins, can we pray for you? Would you respond now as we stand and sing?